104.1 Today FM Breakfast with Em, Grant and Ed. Em has stepped out for the moment. And so, Grant, you and I are going to be speaking to the author of Weatherboard and Iron, Politics, the Bush and Me. It's author, former Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? And thanks for having me on your show. Grant, how are you?
Good, mate. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, Barnaby, not too bad. Obviously, we're much like you. You were born in Tamworth. We're regional people and we're farming families. We're fifth generation, I think, in our family. So pretty devastated to hear just what the fact that the whole state of New South Wales has now been drought declared.
Yeah.
Rough state of affairs. You'd be seeing plenty of that out your way as well, I'd imagine.
Yeah, absolutely, Grant. And I'd like to commend the work Shezzy's doing. It's I know she's got the ball on this weekend at Bathurst. I think it's Black Tie and Boots.
That's
so good on her. And everybody's doing their bit. Was up there packing hampers for guys who are really under, families really under the pump, and trying to make sure we push policy in Canberra so we bring about the changes that keep these people with dignity in their lives and ultimately keep them on the land, because we don't want to lose them off the land. If you lose them off the land, it'll just become corporatised and be owned by the Chinese or somebody else, and that's not what I want.
Yeah, it's fair enough. We kind of are facing the collapse of rural Australia if this continues like it is. We're seeing farmers everywhere that can't afford to feed themselves, let alone grow food for the rest of the country. Like, it's a situation that's terribly critical. The government has jumped in and given each farmer $12,000. Is that enough? Because what we're hearing is it's not, and it's too many hoops for them to jump through to receive it. Not one farmer that we know has successfully been able to navigate the paperwork to get the funding.
I acknowledge the second part of how complicated it is, and that we need to do something in that space to better streamline it. I think sometimes you put so many caveats on getting hold of money that in the end people just don't even bother trying to apply for it. Mm. On the first issue of whether it's enough, nothing's ever enough if you're totally under the pump, but it's got to help. You know, we've got to try and help people get through. We can't actually pay all the farm bills. It's just not possible. But you can try and keep dignity in their life by making sure they can keep the groceries paid for, keep the fuel paid for, keep the phone paid for. Those sort of bills are vitally important. And if you don't do that, you'll literally have people living out in the scrub in absolute poverty. And that's not supposed to happen in our nation, a Western civilization. We're supposed to make sure that we look after these people.
Now, your book, Weatherboard and Iron, Politics, the Bush and Me, is it the type of thing that you're seeing at the moment? Is that what first drove you to want to be in politics?
Yeah, it did. Right from the word go, is probably, I grew up in a good family, but I went to like little state schools, and I talk about it in the book, and I saw around me people who are really doing it tough. And when I tell their story to others, people either didn't believe me or didn't realise that was actually happening. See, what happens in life is people who can't afford to live in Sydney go to they go out and out and out to the western suburbs, and they actually fall out of Sydney or out of Melbourne or out of Adelaide. And next thing time you see them, they're in cheap housing in a regional town, and then they go to cheap housing, almost free housing, out in these corners, in these villages. But of course, they don't come with sewerage, and they don't come with proper water, and they come with very bad education or no school at all, and they don't have, many of them don't have even a police station there. And you see these people living in that space, and you can imagine the type of life they live. And the question has to be to the Australian nation: how are we going to move these people ahead? How are we going to pick them up and take them forward? Or we just ignore them? You can't say to them, oh, mate, just sell up and go to Sydney. And say, well, sell what up? No, if I sell up, it means someone else is buying it and moving into my problem. And by the way, no one wants to buy where I live.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So, and this is sort of, and Grant, you got another question about that, well, before we move on?
No, that's fine. That's good. Let's move on to the book.
So, okay, so let's move on to the book. All right, so we now do the hard right turn to the number of reasons that you have been in the mainstream press for the last, 18 months now? Probably a little bit less. Now, this is the grab that I have to play you, because I'm finding this a little bit hard to kind of match up in my head. So when the thing came out with you and your new partner and your new baby, which is Sebastian, who's born now, this was one of the things that you were said that was annoying you about the attention it was receiving in the mainstream media.
What I want to do is make sure that private matters remain private.
But now you're doing a book tour.
Well, okay, there's two parts to that. Obviously, the overwhelmingly, if you open up the book, it's it's not about my personal life. It's about people in regional areas. The publisher rightly said, if you don't actually mention it at all, they're going to say it's a whitewash. They're going to say that you brushed over it and say you've got to put something about it in there. And I suppose the only thing I can think is if that makes you buy the book and read about what is really important, then that's the price you pay. And the second thing I'd say is I'm a politician, I am a public figure, and I have to take what's bowled up to me. But other people around me are not. And they are not public figures, and you've got to respect that a bit. And I've seen it with sometimes when it goes to such an extent which they try to destroy people. I'm going to talk about somebody on the other side of the political fence here. Emma Hassar, right? She might have done the wrong thing. I don't know. But where the media is going now, they're going to destroy this person. Mm. And after it's all over, there's going to, what are you going to do? You're going to pick up the pieces for her? You just got to be a little bit careful about how far you want to go and in the pursuit of somebody. And so I think that's a fair comment to make. But the answer to your question is, if I'd left it out, and I believe you me, my first draft, it wasn't in there.
It didn't have it in there.
It didn't have it in there. And of course, the publishers come back and say, mate, every discussion you have, they're going to say that was a whitewash and you've left out something that's bleedingly obviously should have been spoken about.
Yeah. So do you think the media are out for blood? Do you feel like that you've been a victim of that as
no,
well?
No, I don't. No, I'm never the victim. I'm a politician. Right? I'm not the victim, but I have to have a sense of empathy for, you know, when I saw those cricketers, Steve Smith and the Warner, did we really need to go after them until they broke down and cried? Was that success? Is that ticking the box? MSR, do I need to hear about her, you know, personal life and what somebody says she might have done? I don't think so. You know, and just be really careful about what you're doing to a human being there.
Yeah, yeah. This is where the schism sort of goes, because on a personal level, without knowing the details, you've got to accept that when people read that you're married and that you're with someone in your office and that person is pregnant, you have to understand that people don't like that.
Yeah,
They just straight up don't like it.
I know. I've never said for one second you're going to get a gold star for that. And I've said over and over again that it was a failure, right? I'm not making excuses or trying to justify it. You know, that was a failure.
So what would have been a fair treatment if you had the perfect world with the media, which Grant and I are part of, what would have been a fair treatment?
Go after me, but leave, you know, just be a little bit conscious about Vicky and certainly Sebastian, who is not a public figure.
But no one's gone after Sebastian. No one's gone after Sebastian. How do you go after a baby?
They want the photo of the kid. Grant and I are both public figures.
We both have children and have knocked back offers for money for our kids as well.
They want the photo of the pregnant lady. That's what they want. That's the money shot.
Yeah, it is. Barnaby, there's no way around it. That it is.
Yeah, okay.
You've had an affair with someone in your office and that person is pregnant. You know what you're known as is a really good retail politician.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because you have a way of connecting with people.
Yep.
You're someone who has always come across, and I put myself in this category, when you speak, it felt different to other politicians.
Yep.
You know, the guy who's the Prime Minister at the moment, Malcolm Turnbull, safe to say that you guys aren't the best of friends.
We work on a professional basis.
Right.
Not a fan of the bonk ban, I understand.
I just think it's ridiculous. I mean, how are you going to enforce that? We're going to sneak around, follow people around at night? How's that work?
Well, probably that way, I would imagine. But getting back to what we were talking about before is going after, hearing a politician say, why are you going after ... That's a lot of what federal politics is. Politics seems to be these days, going after each other.
Well, that's the whole point of the book, is it's overwhelmingly written about policy to help people get ahead. It's written about trying to make sure, I mean, the person who, if they are listening to this at Kurri Kurri or listening to this in Dirranbandi or listening to this in Emmaville, and they're probably not, to be quite frank, but if they are, they're going to be saying, well, what are you actually offering that's going to make my life better? What is your plan? And that is overwhelming.
Do you feel as though with this personal scandal, you were Deputy Prime Minister at the time.
Yeah.
Do you feel as though this personal scandal has cost you the opportunity to have, you're acting Prime Minister, for goodness sake, have that highest platform to get these issues across the table? Does that annoy you that has taken that away from you?
Well, it's, you know, of course it's cost me greater effect. I mean, that's bleeding obvious. But what being on the backbench has allowed me to do is to walk a closer path with these people and write about their lives mm-hmm. from my experience from a very, very young child and on. And it's a book I couldn't have written as a Deputy Prime Minister because you can't be at odds with your cabinet on policy. And so this is a book that when I was on the backbench that you can either mope or you can say, no, I'm going to have a write something that's going to be part of an instruction on policy and hopefully affect for the better these people's lives.
So now that you have been able to write it, what is the fundamental thing that we are doing wrong? What is the one thing we need to do differently, the book is revealing?
Well, there's a range of them, Grant, but obviously you have to have the infrastructure as the stimulus for economic growth. Like, you can't keep coming up with excuses to close industries down. We've come up with excuses to close the timber industry down and put timber workers out of work, but we left them in the towns with nowhere to go. We don't want to build dams, so in the middle of a drought, guess what? They run out of water, and it just builds on poverty. You have an education system where, when I had an accountancy practice, I had competent people come to me who couldn't properly construct a sentence or a paragraph, and yet they were supposed to have gone through year 12. And after you train them how to do it, they're very, very good at it. Mm. And the question is, well, where did that resource, where did that money go? You have to make sure that you have to decentralize, because sometimes to help the little town on the edge of the big town out in the regions, you've got to get more employment into that big town. So when we talk about decentralization from Canberra, from Sydney, or from Melbourne, which are complaining about congestion, support it. Don't fight it. Support it and make sure these other regional areas grow.
So, Barnaby Joyce, you're clearly passionate. You're clearly very passionate about the issues that you care about. The book is Where the Board and Iron, Politics, the Bush and Me. You're stuck, though, because while Malcolm Turnbull is Prime Minister, much like previous people who have been closer to the top and even his boss at certain times, one T. Abbott, local member for Warringah? What's that?
Warringah, that's right.
You guys are stuck. And people you're stuck while Malcolm Turnbull is Prime Minister. So surely for you, wouldn't it be better if Bill Shorten wins the next election, you can then regroup and then come back, you know, John Howard style, like his book says, Lazarus, and come back and run the joint you want to run it after that next election?
If you run out into the grand final, you don't say to the team, look, what we've got to do here today, fellas, is lose.
You've got to lose one to win one, Barnaby. They do say that.
We've got to lose this grand final because we'll be so good next season.
I'm talking about you personally.
Well, I think politics is bigger than, obviously it is. It's not, don't think, it is. It's vastly bigger than me personally. You play with the cards that are dealt to you, and you do the best job you can. Your job in politics, not my job, every politician's job, is one of public service. Mm-hmm. If you're at the top, you do that by quietly, out behind closed doors, choking people and pushing things through. But if you're on the backbench, you do it by the cogent articulation of policy that takes people ahead, which is what I'm trying to do here. It's not a tome about my personal life. I don't have no real interest in. It's about writing how you help people who, if you don't talk about them, you wonder who it's going to. And the only way you can actually get it through is if it becomes policy of a party that wins the election. Now, if the Labor Party picks it up and runs with it, good luck to them and God bless them, and I wish them all the very best. I don't think they will. I've got to hope that our side wins and puts it through.
I've got to ask you this one. We do have to wrap up in a moment. So, whole thing, let's go back. Situation, right? Everything. What would you
do differently?
You know I have to ask that. I've got to do that.
Yeah, I know, but I get that asked that question all the time, but live in a retrospective. There's no town called retrospective. There's no town called yesterday. I mean, it just doesn't exist. And you're going to tear yourself to pieces and be gobbled up by the vacuum cleaner if you think that you can somehow go backwards. You can't. And you actually can't really. Perspective is also pretty hard to live in. You can only live for right now. Do what you can do right now, because if you could have your time again, well, there's a whole heap of exams at school, which I actually now know the answers to, and I would be a doctor and living in Bellevue Hill.
We're not talking about going back to your exams. And I'd love if you were Malcolm's neighbour in Potts Point. That'd be fun. Point Piper. Any chance of that?
I don't think he'd be too keen on that idea. But the barbecues would be too rowdy.
The barbecues would be way too rowdy. All right, Barnaby. Look, Man, it is such a funny one. We took the pulse of just the people around the office and everyone here. How do you feel about Barnaby now? And there's a bit of a split. Some people are just like, you know what, let's move on. Who cares? Look, yep. it's dealt with, you know, with whatever it was. Yep. And then still other, you know, and then other folks were just like, what he kind of played out in the media and the sort of double standard of, you know, what the family values stuff in the election and then this, which I know you've dealt with, that's going to be your cross to bear forever. You know that, yeah?
Yeah, sure. But you know,
is there too much damage to survive, do you think, Barnaby?
No, of course not. Otherwise, you'd get out. But I can understand someone saying, because if you drive at 120 kilometres an hour and get caught by the police, doesn't mean becoming an advocate for people speeding. You know, you acknowledge where you got things wrong and fix it up.
How's it going with, you know, how is the whole family now?
Yeah, well, you continue to work on it, don't you? I mean, remember, half the people out there, around about half, their marriages break down, and not one of them wants a gold star for it. Not one of them walked up the aisle thinking that that's how it was going to end. But every one of them wants to try to do the very best to make things work out for all involved.
We live and learn, Mr. Joyce. We live and learn. The book is called Weatherboard and Iron, Politics, the Bush and Me by Barnaby Joyce. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Barnaby.